And thank you. What a great way to begin to ring in 2021 by being here in worship. And we are so glad to see you. I want to let you know about a few things that we have going on. You know, let me just dovetail on what Kevin said through the video and then what Matt said when he was up here, just about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for International Missions. You know, we just sang that song, The Old Maid Knew When I Met You, and everybody in this room who knows Jesus as their Savior, you have a story of how you met Jesus. And a few weeks ago, I made the statement that nobody should hear about Jesus twice until everybody has heard about Jesus once. And that's what the Lottie Moon Christmas offering does. It gives us the opportunity to go into some of the most far-flung places of the globe and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with, and you saw in that video, with people who can be born, live their entire life, and die, and never once hear the name of Jesus. So I want to encourage you, before you leave this place, if you have not made your gift for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for International Missions, go ahead and do that before you leave. We've got a basket in the back where you can do that. If you're mailing in that gift, 112 Batesville Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina, 29681. Or you can go to the website, fiveforks.org, and just navigate up to the right-hand side of the page where it says give, and you can give right there as well. Now, if you want to bring it by the office this week, you can do that as well. A lot of different ways you can give your gift, but we would love for you to get that gift in before the 31st of December so that we count it in this goal for this year. So, please continue to pray about what you can give so that we can reach the nations for Jesus Christ. Also, I wanted to let you know, next week we begin a new series. You see it up here, What God Can Do Through Ordinary You. And we're going to spend 4 weeks in January talking about how God wants to use you. Maybe you feel like, you know what, I just don't know if God can use me. I don't know if I'm particularly gifted in some area or not. Listen, if you know Jesus as your Savior, God gave you at least one, maybe more than one, spiritual gift that He expects you to use to build up His kingdom. And we're going to look at the amazing things that God wants to do through you during the course of the next month. And I want to encourage you, every single Sunday, starting with next week, we are going to have an opportunity for you to, you can use the term sign on the dotted line, it won't be dotted, but you know, you can sign on the line and say, yes, I want to be involved in this ministry or that ministry. So you'll have opportunity to do that during the course of the month of January. Please take advantage of that. And also don't forget, next Sunday from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, we are going to be having our next meeting in here about that construction project that we've been talking about. Now remember, this meeting will deal a lot with finance, okay? Every question about finance from, was it last week? Yeah, last week's meeting, every question about finance we pushed off and said, because we're having a meeting on the 3rd where we're going to talk about that. This is that meeting, okay? So 3 to 5 next Sunday, plan to join us in here. We'll talk finance and we'll talk about how we believe that God wants this project to move forward. So I want to encourage you to join us for that, okay? Several big things coming up. So you'll want to make sure you are a part of this. Make sure you're looking at your bulletin. You know what's going on, because there are a lot of things that are going on during the month of January, okay? All right. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Numbers chapter 16 today. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Our text today, we're going to pick it up in verse 41, and our text today comes right in the middle of a story. And so it's in Hebrew history, so I want to give you some background. The book of Numbers is written. It is this somber record of a people who came right up to the cusp of what God wanted them to do and then pulled back. Okay, now let me rabbit trail for a minute and say, I don't want Five Forks Baptist Church to be that people. I don't want us to pull right up to the cusp of what God wants us to do and then pull back because, like them, we are fearful or afraid or not trusting the Lord enough. I want us, especially in 2021, to be a church that says what God wants us to do, what we believe God wants us to do, that is what we are going to do. You know, it's interesting when we look at even the building project that we're talking about here. One of the things that you need to do as spiritual people, and this is a difficult thing to do, but as spiritual people, I think what God calls us to do is to unhook two different things, okay? There is the question of how, and then there is the question of if. The question of if is, does God want us to do this? The question of how follows after the determination, does God want us to do this? Now, we are trying to provide you with a lot of those answers coming down the road. But do you remember we just studied, and this is a longer rabbit trail than I thought it was going to be, but that's okay. We just studied a couple of different Christmas stories. So the first week we talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth and the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus. And if you look at what happened, Zechariah goes into the temple to offer sacrifice. Gabriel appears to him, and Gabriel tells him he's going to have a son. And Zechariah says, I don't understand how that could happen. And then Gabriel goes to Mary and tells Mary she's going to have a son. And Mary says, I don't understand how that could happen. But both of them followed and obeyed God and left the how to him to a large extent. So, something to think about as we move into that kind of discussion. So the book of Numbers is written as this somber record of this community of people who were disobedient to God and they suffered the consequences for it. I want to make sure everybody hears me loud and clear today, whether you're in this room or watching via video, make sure you understand that when you actively live your life in unbelief, that is sin, and sin always, 100% of the time, has consequences. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, first of all, the final penalty for your sin has been paid in full by the death of Jesus, but the things that you do today still have an impact. They still matter. Numbers 13 and 14, you have this narrative account of the nation of Israel. They're now some 3 million strong. They go right up to Kadesh Barnea. They go right up to the area that brackets the promised land, and they're getting ready to go in, and they go in with 12 spies. And the spies come back, and if you recall the consensus report, 10 of those spies say, there is no way we can go in and take that land. They forgot they didn't have to take the land. God did it for them. So as a result of their disobedience, God says this unbelieving generation will not enter into the land that I have promised. So as a result, for the next 40 years, the nation of Israel is basically on a death march. They are marching all around the wilderness until that generation dies off and the next generation will go into the promised land. But there are some people who reject that arrangement. In Numbers 16, you get a kind of a minor uprising, a mutiny, I guess, of sorts. Korah, who Scripture says is a Levite, he's in the priestly line, he is not content with the leadership. And so he gathers together some friends, Dathan, Abiram, and On. And they come up to Moses and Aaron. And here's what they say. It says, they came together against Moses and Aaron and said, you have gone too far. This is right after Moses and Aaron said, we are going to spend the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Everyone in the entire community is holy, Korah says, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the Lord's assembly? What are they saying? Basically, what this group of people are saying, they are saying, you don't have the right to tell us what to do. We have the ability to go to God and get messages from God. We don't have to listen to you. Now here's the problem. God had set up and appointed how he wanted this done. He had called Aaron to be the high priest, to be the spiritual leader for the nation of Israel. And so because of that, Korah is in rebellion against God's authority. Have you ever heard people who say, you know, maybe you come up and you say, hey, this is what Scripture says on this issue. I've talked to people before, people who are church people, people who are Christians, and they say this, you know what, we're all Christians here, come on. You know, why are you being so strict? Why are you acting so holier than thou? Listen, y'all, there are those of you who are in the process right now. As we're December 27th, you've made the shift from Christmas, it's now time to think about New Year's resolutions, okay? So you're looking and you're saying, hey, need to lose a few pounds, hey, I want to do this, hey, I want to do that. You know, that sort of thing right now. Maybe one of your New Year's resolutions is to make 2021 the year you are sold out for God. Understand this, if you are going to live the stuff of Scripture, you are going to face the caustic tongue of criticism. You are going to face people, even people who know Jesus. Every leader faces criticism. Moses and Aaron are facing 254 of them. This group of 254 people comes together and says, you've gone too far. By the way, isn't it interesting? Out of 3 million people, Moses and Aaron stand up and say, this is what the Lord says, and the 254 of them who are against God's message find each other like that. Out of 3 million people, y'all, that happens all the time. It happens in churches. It happens in any kind of group you have. The people who don't want to know what, or the people who aren't interested in what's going on and moving forward for God, they find each other very quickly. So Moses issues an ultimatum. He tells all of them to bring their fire pans with them. Now, what a fire pan is, have y'all ever been to a church that does, like, incense? I've been to a lot of Catholic funerals, and if you've ever been to a Catholic funeral, the priest will come in, and he's got, like, a little thing that has incense in it, and he's swinging it back and forth while he walks in and he's talking, and so you'll see some of that incense. That's what a fire pan was. A fire pan was designed to give incense, but more than designed to give incense, it was designed to be one of the tools of the trade for a priest. So the priest would take that fire pan, take coals from off of the altar, put incense in it, and walk around, and it would provide this pleasing aroma for the Lord. And so here's what Moses says. He says, okay, guys, I want you all 254 of you, you guys bring your fire pans tomorrow, your priestly line fire pans. You bring it tomorrow, and we're going to find out who's holy. So you guys bring your stuff, we'll bring our stuff, and we'll see who has God's approval. So they all come out the next day, and they stand in front of the tabernacle, and here's what happens. God opens up the ground and swallows Korah and Abiram and On and Dothan and their families and all of their possessions. Fire falls from heaven and burns up the 250 additional rebels, and Moses and Aaron stand approved before a God who will not be challenged. So everybody goes to bed after that, but apparently there were some people who had a gripe session that evening because Moses and Aaron wake up the next morning to a crowd of 3 million Jews who want to kill them. Now, imagine that I make, or the staff makes, some kind of decision, and everybody in here wants to kill us because it is so bad. Then multiply that by 10,000, and that is what you've got. So let's pick up the reading. Numbers chapter 16, verse 41 kind of tells us what happens after that. It says this: the next day, the entire Israelite community complained about Moses and Aaron. They said, "You have killed the Lord's people." When the community assembled against them, Moses and Aaron turned toward the tent of meeting. Stop for just a minute. The tent of meeting is the name for the tabernacle. Tent of meeting, tent of testimony, tent of the Lord. You'll hear it phrased different ways, but it means the tabernacle. So they turned to the tabernacle, and the Lord said to Moses, "Get away from the community so that I may consume them instantly." What does God say? He says, "I'm tired of this. Get away from them. I'm going to kill them, the whole lot of them." But they, that's Moses and Aaron, they fell face down. Then Moses told Aaron, "Take your fire pan, place fire from the altar in it, and add incense. Go quickly to the community and make atonement for them, because wrath has come from the Lord. The plague has begun." So Aaron took his fire pan, as Moses had ordered, ran into the middle of the assembly, and saw that the plague had begun among the people. After he added incense, he made atonement for the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was halted. But those who died from the plague numbered 14,700, in addition to those who died because of the Korah incident. Aaron then returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting, since the plague had been halted. Now that God's spoken to us, let's speak with him in prayer. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the power that it has for our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to share in it right here in this place, but also even all across the globe through what you are doing in this video ministry. Get glory from this. Lord, I don't just want to give a Hebrew history lesson. I pray that this will be impactful for our lives as we move into 2021 as the church you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 41, you see a rebellious people. They accuse Moses and Aaron of essentially murdering these guys, as if they could make the earth open up, as if they could make fire fall down from heaven. Rebellion began in the Garden of Eden, y'all, and it has been spiraling down with mankind ever since. God said to Moses and Aaron, "Get up, get away. I'm not going to put up with this anymore." Verse 46, the results of the rebellion, this ruinous plague. But what I really want to focus on during our time today is a redeeming priest. A person that God placed to stand between the dead and the living to halt the plague. God always deals with his enemies. Colossians 3, verse 25 says it like this: "But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there will be no partiality." None. God sends a plague. What kind of plague is it? I don't know. We aren't told anything about it in Scripture other than the fact that it was deadly. Time magazine this year declared their Guardians of the Year to be frontline healthcare workers. We applaud them. They work tirelessly to stand between the dead and the living when it comes to COVID-19. Yo, we are dealing with another plague in America today, though. And it created the COVID-19 problem and every other problem. And while we don't know what kind of plague this was in number 16, I know what kind of plague that is. It reared its ugly head in Genesis 3, and it has been snatching victims at a rate of 80 to 90 per minute, every minute for the last few centuries on this planet. It's called sin. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, in 2021, God wants you to be a person who will stand in between the dead and the living. There are people all around you who are dead in their sins, and they are at your school this coming semester, and they are at your job, and they are at your subdivision, and if you do not reach them, they will die and go to hell. But in the midst of a rebellious people and a ruinous plague, this redeeming priest stands between the dead and the living, and the plague is halted. Y'all, Moses couldn't do this job. Moses, the meekest man who ever lived. Moses, this incredibly brilliant military general. Josephus says he may have been one of the most incredible military generals the world has ever seen. Moses, who was raised in Pharaoh's court. Moses, who has gone from victory to victory, parting the Red Sea. Moses couldn't do this job. It was the job of a priest. Your government can't do the job of reaching your neighborhood. Government can't do the job God has for you. Social services can't do the job God has for you. The people God wants you to reach, I can't reach. Your Sunday school teacher cannot reach. The deacons can't reach. Only you can reach. Here's a great verse for you. It's from 1 Peter chapter 2. It says this, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So God is calling you a royal priesthood. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have some of those elements of a priest. It is your responsibility to stand before God for a group of people. Who is that group of people in your life? Who are the people that you are burdened for right now, that 2021 is a year you're going to reach them? He's called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light for a reason. What made Aaron such an effective intercessor? What's going to make you an effective intercessor to stand between the dead and the living? I want you to see four things. They're in your notes page. You've got some blanks right there. The very first one, if you're going to stand between the dead and the living, faithful intercessors are consecrated. They're consecrated. It says, when the community assembled against them, Moses and Aaron turned toward the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting, the tabernacle, that is Aaron's unique place of ministry. Leviticus 8, if you go to that, if you look at it, it gives you background on what all was involved in being a priest. In verse 2 of Leviticus 8, it says that God chose Aaron and his family to be priests. They were chosen out. John 15, 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. God chose you and he appointed you for a specific purpose, for a job, to go out and bear fruit that will last. So Aaron was chosen. So are you. Aaron was also cleansed ceremonially. When he became a priest, it said that he, in verse, if you look in that passage, it's verse 6 of Leviticus 8, he has to be cleansed ceremonially to deal with the work that God's called him to do. Revelation 1:5 says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You've been cleansed by God. That doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. It doesn't mean that you were just holier than somebody else, that God looked down at you and said, oh, hey, you know, he's something else. No, that's not what that means. It means that God is so much greater than you could ever imagine. You know, one of the things we're going to be talking about as we get into this area of giftedness, maybe you're looking and saying, oh, you know, I don't feel like I'm worthy to serve in this position or that position. Y'all, none of us is worthy. I'm not worthy to be standing up here doing what I'm doing. But we've been cleansed. And then you go on in that Leviticus 8 passage, one of the most important elements of being consecrated is the priest had a consecration ceremony. And Aaron and his sons were actually crowned with a crown. And on that crown there were four words written. The words said, holiness to the Lord. So every time they looked into that bronze laver, which was essentially a mirror shining back at them, they saw the words, holiness to the Lord. Anytime they were talking to somebody, that person was looking at their head and saw holiness to the Lord. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but just as he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in every aspect of your life, for it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Y'all, one of the things we need to make 2021 a year for is the year we stop playing around with the idea of consecration. Maybe you've forgotten the four words, holiness to the Lord. Eyes that have been set apart for the priesthood are not eyes that go to home or to work and view internet pornography. Hands that have been set apart for the priesthood are not hands that inappropriately touch members of the opposite sex. Bodies that have been set apart for the priesthood are not bodies that can go weeks and weeks without worship. Now, let me say a word to you. I know right now it's COVID, and I know right now we've got some people who are scattered in their homes right now. But maybe I'm talking to somebody in their home, and you've gotten a little bit lax with this idea of worship. Maybe when this first started, it was, man, I am going to make sure that I do this every single week, and I'm hearing from God. And now maybe it's, you know what, every third or fourth week, you get around to it. That's not consecration. Bodies that have been consecrated are bodies that value worship. Parents, let me say this. If you want your kids to value worship, then you need to value worship. I believe, my personal belief, and this, you're not going to find it written down in Scripture, but let me say this. I believe that when you're getting ready for Sunday morning, you ought to prepare like your child was taking the SAT the next day. I think when you're getting ready for Sunday morning, you ought to prepare like your child is getting ready to be in the big game. It ought to be a process where you say, what happens tomorrow is important, and we're going to treat it that way. Maybe some people need to say today, God, I am so sorry I have forgotten those four words, holiness to the Lord. I have forgotten that I'm supposed to be consecrated. Aaron was a consecrated intercessor. He was totally dedicated to God. What does the text say? If you look in verse 45, it says, they fell face down. Then Moses told Aaron, take your fire pan, place fire from the altar on it, and add incense. Go quickly to the community and make atonement for them, because wrath has come from the Lord. The plague has begun. So Aaron took his fire pan as Moses had ordered. Moses and Aaron see the disobedience of 3 million people, and they fall down on their face in front of the tabernacle. They seek God as servants. After that, Moses, now, by the way, let me just say this too, those of you who are familiar with family dynamics, Moses is the younger brother here, okay? Aaron's the older brother. And Moses orders Aaron. He says, Aaron, get up. People are dying. Go take your fire pan and go stand between the dead and the living. And Aaron says, hey, wait a minute. I'm the older brother here. You don't have the right to tell me what to do. Come on. Or I'd like to know who died and put you in charge here. Y'all, Aaron was a servant. He was not a celebrity. He realized God doesn't use big people. God says in Isaiah 66:2, for to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and trembles at my word. God is looking for people in 2021 to reach Five Forks. And the people he's looking at are people who are going to open up this word and tremble at it and say, that hits me square in the face and I need to do something about it. That's who God's looking for. Maybe some of you aren't going to be able to stand between the dead and the living until you go apologize to somebody. Maybe you can't stand between the dead and the living until you're willing to say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you say. Faithful intercessors are consecrated. Second thing, though, faithful intercessors are competent. They're competent. Now I've gone one too far. Verse 47 says, so Aaron took his firepan as Moses had ordered, ran into the middle of the assembly, and saw that the plague had begun among the people. After he had added incense, he made atonement for the people. Aaron grabs his incense, he always kept it handy, and he runs to the altar where he never let it go out. And he got what he needed to stand between the dead and the living in a matter of seconds. It's interesting because incense, that idea of it going up before God, it is symbolic of something in modern day Christianity. It's symbolic of prayer. What's your prayer life like? Is your prayer life the kind of thing that when somebody comes to you with a need, you can within seconds be prepared to go to God on their behalf? Or is it the kind of thing where you would have to be a little bit foreign with that concept because you just don't pray very much? A lot of times we treat God like a genie in the bottle. Health problems? Come on out, God, I need your help. Financial problems? Hey, come on out, God, I need your help. Final exams? Come on out, God, I need your help. Girlfriend breaking up with you? Come on out, God, I need help. She's the only one that would date me for 4 years. I can't lose her. Come on. That's not incense, y'all. The incense has to be ready, and Aaron's was ready at a moment's notice. Our testimony ought to reflect that fire on the altar the same way that our prayer reflects that incense. Never going out. John Wesley, I love the quote that it says of John Wesley. It says that John Wesley was set on fire from God. And when people came to hear him preach, it was not so much to hear his words as to watch him burn. Aaron had this competence. He was ready to go to God right then. Does your life reflect somebody who's ready at a moment's notice? If you are having lunch with somebody and all of a sudden they say, I just feel like my life's a mess right now. I wonder what can help. Are you ready to step into that conversation with the gospel? Are you ready to step in and say, I know somebody who can help? Faithful intercessors are competent. They're ready. Faithful intercessors also have confidence, though. They have confidence. So Aaron took his firepan as Moses had ordered, ran into the middle of the assembly and saw that the plague had begun among the people. After he added incense, he made atonement for the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was halted. Verse 47, it says he ran. Don't forget, they wake up in the morning to an entire nation of people who are ready to kill them. These people have said, we want you dead, and we're going to make it happen. And then the plague begins. And Aaron runs out into the middle of the assembly, and people are dying all around. A woman is holding her baby, and there in the blanket, it goes limp. It's dead. A man is holding his wife's hand, and all of a sudden, she falls to the ground. She's dead. Children are watching their parents die all around them. And here is Aaron, who is maybe 100 years old, maybe even 120 years old, and he is running into the middle of this plague to offer atonement. Is Five Forks Baptist Church going to be the church that runs into 2021 to share Jesus? Is Five Forks Baptist Church going to be the church that runs into 2021 saying, you've got problems, we can help with that. You know, we've talked about the building project. Is that a component of this? It absolutely is. But it is no substitute for you going out into your community, into your sphere of influence, into your job, into your family, and standing between the dead and the living. I think God is sick and tired of walking Christians in a world that is dying. It's time to run. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God sent Aaron right into the middle of the plague and he went. That's confidence. But it also takes, final thing, compassion. Faithful intercessors have compassion. It says he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was halted. When all the people who just hours before were calling for Moses and Aaron's head on a platter started dying, Aaron puts all that behind him and he runs into the middle of them with compassion. The compassion of people who had rejected him. It reminds me of Jesus. He modeled the heart of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep that have no shepherd. According to the Department of Health and Human Resources, the CDC's budget this year is $6.9 billion. That is an incredible amount of money. It staggers the imagination. But who in this room after a year like 2020 would say, I think we need to cut the CDC's budget. I think they need less money. No. We cannot let plagues run rampant across our nation. The government recruits the best and brightest scientists every year to go into laboratories, to go out into the field, and to stand between the dead and the living. But there is another kind of plague that is sweeping this nation, and God is calling priests out of every race, every state, every school, every subdivision to stand between the dead and the living. God has called you. God has called me. 2021, are we ready? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Today, if you came into this place, or you're watching via video and you don't know Jesus, then foundationally, you can't be a priest until you know Jesus. One of the things about the priests, they had to be cleansed, they had to be chosen. God has chosen his method of salvation. He has shown how man can be saved, how women can be saved, how everybody on this planet can come to faith in Jesus if they will trust him as Savior. You can have heaven. You can be a priest. You can have a life that is totally different in 2021. All you need to do is call on his name. Pray and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I know that it's wrong. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to save me. I'm turning from my sin and I'm trusting you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believed you proved you were God by coming back to life. Forgive me of my sin and save me today. And if you pray that prayer and if you call out to Jesus, he's promised that he will save you. And he will make you the kind of person who can stand between the dead and the living. If you're watching via video, I want to encourage you, reach out to us, tim@fiveforks.org. Just shoot me an email and let me know about that decision. I'd love to be able to share in that joy with you. Father, during this time, I pray that you will move in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand.